Part 4. Knives. 39. I know your argument. We speak of the anticipation, of things foretold, of promises made by our greatest prophets of old. Of course, the hero of ages will fit the prophecies. He will fit them perfectly. That's the idea. Straff Venture rode quietly in the misty twilight air. Though he would have preferred a carriage, he felt it important to travel by horseback and present a compelling image for the troops. Zane, not surprisingly, chose to walk. He sauntered along beside Straff's horse, the two of them leading a group of 50 soldiers. Even with the troops, Straff felt exposed. It wasn't just the mists, and it wasn't just the darkness. He could still remember her touch on his emotions.
"You've failed me, Zane," Straff said.
The Mistborn looked up, and, burning tin, Straff could see a frown on his face.
"Failed?"
"Venture and Set still live. Beyond that, you sent a batch of my best allomancers to their deaths."
"I warned you that they might die," Zane said.
"For a purpose, Zane," Straff said sternly. "Why did you need a group of secret allomancers if you were just going to send them on a suicide mission in the middle of a public gathering? You may assume our resources may be unlimited, but let me assure you, those 6 men cannot be replaced."
It had taken Straff decades of work with his mistresses to gather so many hidden allomancers. It had been pleasurable work, but work all the same. In one reckless gambit, Zane had destroyed a good third of Straff's allomancer children.
"My children dead, our hand exposed, and that creature of Ellen's still lives."
"I'm sorry, Father," Zane said. "I thought that the chaos and crowded quarters would keep the girl isolated and force her not to use coins. I really thought this would work."
Straff frowned. He well knew that Zane thought himself more competent than his father. What Mistborn wouldn't think such a thing? Only a delicate mixture of bribery, threats, and manipulation kept Zane under control. Yet no matter what Zane thought, Straff was no fool. He knew, at that moment, that Zane was hiding something.
"Why send those men to die?" Straff thought. "He must have intended them to fail, otherwise he would have helped them fight the girl."
"No," Zane said softly, talking to himself as he sometimes did. "He's my father."
He trailed off, then shook his head sharply.
"No, not them either."
"Lord Ruler," Straff thought, looking down at the muttering madman beside him. "What have I gotten myself into?"
Zane was growing more unpredictable. Had he sent those men to die out of jealousy, out of lust for violence, or had he simply been bored? Straff didn't think that Zane had turned on him, but it was difficult to tell. Either way, Straff didn't like having to rely on Zane for his plans to work. He didn't really like having to rely on Zane for anything. Zane looked up at Straff and stopped talking. He did a good enough job of hiding his insanity, most of the time. A good enough job that Straff sometimes forgot about it. Yet it still lurked there, beneath the surface. Zane was as dangerous a tool as Straff had ever used. The protection provided by a Mistborn outweighed the danger of Zane's insanity. Barely.
"You needn't worry, Father," Zane said. "The city will still be yours."
"It will never be mine as long as that woman lives," Straff said.
He shivered.
Perhaps that's what this was all about. Zane's attack was so obvious that everyone in the city knows I was behind it. And when that Mistborn demon wakes, she will come after me in retribution. But if that were Zane's goal, then why not just kill me himself?
Zane didn't make sense. He didn't have to. That was perhaps one of the advantages of being insane. Zane shook his head.
I think you will be surprised, Father. One way or another, you will soon have nothing to fear from Vin.
She thinks I tried to have her beloved king assassinated.
Zane smiled.
No, I don't think that she does. She's far too clever for that.
Too clever to see the truth, Straff thought.
However, his tin-enhanced ears heard shuffling in the mists. He held up a hand, halting his procession. In the distance, he could just barely pick out the flickering blobs of wall-top torches. They were close to the city, uncomfortably close. Straff's procession waited quietly. Then, from the mists before them, a man on horseback appeared, accompanied by 50 soldiers of his own. Fersen Penrod.
Straff, Penrod said, nodding. Fersen? Your men did well, Penrod said. I'm glad your son didn't have to die. He's a good lad, a bad king, but an earnest man. A lot of my sons died today, Fersen, Straff thought. The fact that Elend still lives isn't fortunate, it's irony. You are ready to deliver the city? Straff asked.
Penrod nodded.
Phylon and his merchants want assurances that they will have titles to match those Set promised them.
Straff waved a dismissive hand.
You know me, Fersen.
You used to practically grovel before me at parties every week.
I always honor business agreements. I'd be an idiot not to appease those merchants. They're the ones who will bring me tax revenue from this dominance.
Penrod nodded.
I'm glad we could come to an understanding, Straff. I don't trust Set.
I doubt you trust me, Straff said.
Penrod smiled.
But I do know you, Straff. You're one of us, a Luthadel nobleman. Besides, you have produced the most stable kingdom in the dominances. That's all we're looking for right now, a little stability for this people.
You almost sound like that fool son of mine.
Penrod paused, then shook his head.
Your son isn't a fool, Straff. He's just an idealist. In truth, I'm sad to see his little utopia fall.
If you are sad for him, Fersen, then you are an idiot too.
Penrod stiffened. Straff caught the man's proud eyes, holding them with his stare until Penrod looked down. The exchange was a simple one, mostly meaningless, but it did serve as a very important reminder. Straff chuckled.
You're going to have to get used to being a small fish again, Fersen.
I know.
Be cheerful, Straff said. Assuming this turnover of power happens as you promised, no one will have to end up dead. Who knows? Maybe I'll let you keep that crown of yours.
Penrod looked up.
For a long time, this land didn't have kings, Straff said quietly. It had something greater. Well, I'm not the Lord Ruler, but I can be an Emperor. You want to keep your crown and rule as a subject king under me?
That depends on the cost, Straff,
Penrod said carefully.
Not completely quelled, then.
Penrod had always been clever. He'd been the most important nobleman to stay behind in Luthadel, and his gamble had certainly worked.
The cost is exorbitant, Straff said. Ridiculously so.
The Atium,
Penrod guessed. Straff nodded.
Elend hasn't found it, but it's here somewhere. I was the one who mined those geodes. My men spent decades harvesting them and bringing them to Luthadel. I know how much of it we harvested, and I know that nowhere near the same amount came back out in disbursements to the nobility. The rest is in that city somewhere.
Penrod nodded.
I'll see what I can find, Straff.
Straff raised an eyebrow.
You need to get back into practice, Fersen.
Penrod paused, then bowed his head.
I'll see what I can find, my lord.
Good. Now, what news did you bring of Ellen's mistress?
She collapsed after the fight, Penrod said. I employ a spy on the cooking staff, and she said she delivered a bowl of broth to Lady Vin's room. It returned cold.
Straff frowned.
Could this woman of yours slip the Mistborn something?
Penrod paled slightly.
I don't think that would be wise, my lord. Besides, you know Mistborn constitutions.
Perhaps she really is incapacitated, Straff thought. If we moved in... The chill of her touch and his emotions returned. Numbness. Nothingness.
You needn't fear her so, my lord, Penrod said.
Straff raised an eyebrow.
I'm not afraid. I'm wary. I will not move into that city until my safety is assured. And until I move in, your city is in danger from Set. Or worse. What would happen if those Kolos decide to attack the city, Fersen? I'm in negotiations with their leader, and he seems to be able to control them. For now. Have you ever seen the aftermath of a Kolos slaughter?
He probably hadn't. Straff hadn't until just recently. Penrod just shook his head.
Vin won't attack you. Not if the Assembly votes to put you in command of the city. The transfer will be perfectly legal.
I doubt she cares about legality.
Perhaps, Penrod said. But Ellen does. And where he commands, the girl follows.
Unless he has as little control over her as I have over Zane, Straff thought, shivering.
No matter what Penrod said, Straff wasn't going to take the city until that horrible creature was dealt with. In this, he could rely only on Zane. And that thought frightened him almost as much as Vin did. Without further discussion, Straff waved to Penrod, dismissing him. Penrod turned and retreated into the mists with his entourage. Even with his tin, Straff barely heard Zane land on the ground beside him. Straff turned, looking at the Mistborn.
You really think he'd turn the ATM over to you if he found it? Zane asked quietly.
Perhaps, Straff said. He has to know that he'd never be able to hold on to it. He doesn't have the military might to protect a treasure like that. And if he doesn't give it to me... Well, it would probably be easier to take the ATM from him than it would be to find it on my own.
Straff seemed to find the answer satisfactory. He waited for a few moments, staring into the mists. Then he looked at Straff, a curious expression on his face.
What time is it?
Straff checked his pocket watch, something no Mistborn would carry. Too much metal.
11:17, he said.
Zane nodded, turning back to look at the city.
It should have taken effect by now.
Straff frowned. Then he began to sweat. He flared tin, clamping his eyes shut.
There,
he thought, noticing a weakness inside of him.
More poison,
he asked, keeping the fear from his voice, forcing himself to be calm.
How do you do it, father? Zane asked. I thought for certain you'd missed this one. Yet here you are, just fine.
Straff was beginning to feel weak.
One doesn't need to be Mistborn to be capable, Zane, he snapped.
Zane shrugged, smiling in the haunting way only he could, keenly intelligent yet eerily unstable. Then he just shook his head.
You win again, he said,
then shot upward into the sky, churning mists with his passing. Straff immediately turned his horse, trying to maintain his decorum as he urged it back toward the camp. He could feel the poison, feel it stealing his life, feel it threatening him, overcoming him. He went, perhaps too quickly. It was difficult to maintain an air of strength when you were dying. Finally, he broke into a gallop. He left his startled guards behind, and they called in surprise, breaking into a jog to try and keep up. Straff ignored their complaints. He kicked the horse faster. Could he feel the poison slowing his reactions? Which one had Zane used? Gurraith? No, it required injection. Tomfer, perhaps, or... perhaps he had found one that Straff didn't even know about. He could only hope that wasn't the case, for if Straff didn't know of the poison, then Amaranta probably wouldn't know of it either, and wouldn't be able to put the antidote into her catch-all healing potion. The lights of camp illuminated the mists. Soldiers cried out as Straff approached, and he was nearly run through as one of his own men leveled a spear at the charging horse. Fortunately, the man recognized him in time. Straff rode the man down even as he turned aside his spear. Straff charged right up to his tent. By now, his men were scattering, preparing as if for an invasion or some other attack. There was no way he could hide this from Zane.
I wouldn't be able to hide my death, either.
My lord, a captain said, dashing up to him.
Send for Amaranta,
Straff said, stumbling off his horse. The soldier paused.
The mistress, lord?
The man said, frowning. Why?
No!
Straff commanded, throwing back his tent flap, walking inside. He paused, legs trembling as the tent flap closed. He wiped his brow with a hesitant hand. Too much sweat.
Damn him, he thought with frustration. I have to kill him, contain him. I have to do something. I can't rule like this.
But what? He'd sat up nights, he'd wasted days trying to decide what to do about Zane. The atrium he used to bribe the man no longer seemed a good motivator. Zane's actions this day, slaughtering Straff's children in an obviously hopeless attempt to kill Ellen's mistress, proved that he could no longer be trusted even in a small way. Amaranta arrived with surprising speed, and she immediately began mixing her antidote. Eventually, as Straff slipped down the horrid-tasting concoction, feeling its healing effects immediately, he came to an uneasy conclusion. Zane had to die.